Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Turn to Matthew 19, but we're not in Matthew 19, are we? Not until next year. We are taking 4 weeks to spend looking at this word called Advent, which Advent is the Latin for coming or arrival. We've said that already. We have for the last few years. Advent is the Latin for arrival or coming, and so we're talking about and celebrating that Jesus, He came, He arrived some 2,000 years ago in a unique way that rocked the world, and He still will yet come again, won't He? There will be a second advent that we long for. Right now, we think about His first advent. And there's really four realities about Advent that I want us to look at. I want us to think about who this Jesus is and what did He come to do. You want me to say that again? Who He is and what He came to do 2,000 years ago. And so I'll give you the four-week layout of this series. The first week, last week, we talked about how He was God who came to be with His people. This week, I want us to talk about how He is the man who came to represent His people. Not just God to be with, but man to represent. Next week, we'll look at the King who came to rule His people. And then lastly, we'll look at the Savior who came to redeem His people. I want you to notice, while you're still looking at this slide, though, that week two balances out week one. Maybe complements is a better way to say it. Week two and week one go hand in hand. They're two sides of the same coin. They're both important to look at. Last week we looked at John 1:14, right? That the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. The Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. So we talked about how Jesus is God who came to be with us. God with us. That's Emmanuel. Well, this week, I want to talk about how Jesus didn't just come to be with us. He didn't come to be just be with man. He came as a man. Not to be present with man, but to actually be one. To be man. That's when you start getting into that, there's some dangerous territory, some landmines you could step on theologically, right? And I don't want us to step on those landmines. I want us to walk carefully as we navigate this idea of the nature of Jesus, His divinity and His humanity. When I say that Jesus came to be man, I don't want you to hear that He swapped out His divinity for His humanity, right? Like He walked into Target, had His receipt, and He did a quick exchange. Was divine, now is human. One for one swap. That's not what I'm saying here. He came as God, kept His divinity, and added on His humanity. That He would be equally God and man. Two natures, perfectly. Two natures. It's important, I think, to think about that God is man, that Jesus is man. Because sometimes I think we can overemphasize. No, that's not right, because how can you overemphasize the divinity of Jesus? Maybe we just put so much attention on His divinity that we neglect to really reflect on His humanity. It's good, and we should think about His divinity. In fact, that sets us apart from many others in the world. Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. He was God. That's good. We should talk about His divinity. But let us not just look at that to the neglect of His humanity. All right? And that's what I want to do today. I want us to just really think about this, that He tasted the fullness of humanity. He was born as a baby who cried. Some songs don't get that. Away in a manger, you know that second verse? The cattle are lowing. I'm not going to sing it. The cattle are lowing. Poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. That's wrong. He did. He cried. He was a baby. It's a bad theology, but he was born as a baby. He cried. He slept. He nursed from Mary. He passed bowel movements. He had wet diapers. Who would have thought you would have heard that from your pastor today? It's just true. I just want you to just let it sink in. He was human, fully. Not like kind of human. He wasn't just like he looked human. No, he was human. And he had a full personality, as humans do. Just because he was perfect and without flaw doesn't mean that he was robotic with a bland gray personality. No, he had a vibrant personality as he lived life. Are you starting to think about this? He's human, like human, human. Maybe he was ornery as a kid, not in a sinful way, but maybe ornery. Maybe a prankster. Maybe I'm just channeling, I want him to look like I did. I don't know. Surely he had a sense of humor. He's human. Maybe he loved to read. What were his hobbies, right? Maybe he was artsy. I mean, he was raised by a carpenter, after all, right? Maybe he was artsy and good with his hands. Probably liked to play outside with other kids. I'm willing to bet he wasn't the kind of kid that sat on the couch and watched Netflix all during summer break, right? Some of you are like, wait, they had summer break back then? He was probably outside playing with the kids a lot. Surely skinned his knees and got splinters in his fingers. He went through puberty. He got sick. Maybe he had allergies. He's human. Fully human. And think about this. Right now, there is a human at the right hand of the Father who we worship. We don't just worship the divine side of Jesus, but the whole of Jesus, both natures. And so it would be completely accurate to say that Christians worship a human. I worship a human. Now, that's, of course, only half the story, so it could be misleading, but it's absolutely a true statement. I worship the only divine human that ever has or ever will live, but it is absolutely true. I worship a human. And if you are a Christian, you do too. Jesus was fully God, and yet may we dwell on the fact he was fully human. But why? You thought about that? Why? Why? Why was he human? We can dwell on the fact that he was, but why? Why did Jesus need to be human? Why did Jesus choose to be human? Why did God send him to be human? It wasn't just because of a coin toss. He'd rather walk on two legs instead of four, so he didn't want to be a dog. He chose to be human. No, it wasn't just by chance or preference, us over some other animal in the animal kingdom. It wasn't a thoughtless decision. It wasn't random choice. It wasn't like he felt like it in the moment. But if not any of those reasons, may I just ask you to think about why? Why human? I want today, the time that we have, to give you four reasons why Jesus was fully human. Why John 1:14 says he became flesh. Jesus came as a human first, so to keep God's promises. God came as a human. He took on flesh. He became a man to keep his promises. That's why. I want you to hear this today. First and foremost, if you aren't a Christian, maybe you're just visiting, God's not a liar. He's not. And maybe you felt like God's a liar. Maybe you felt like God has wronged you. God has never wronged you, and he can never wrong any of us. He's not a liar. He doesn't say one thing and do the other. He keeps his promises. If it's in the Bible, It either has happened or it will happen. Guaranteed. And so to keep a couple of his promises, God needed to become something. He needed to become a human to keep a couple of his promises that he made us. God said that he would defeat Satan through a human. He made that promise, and he knew none of you guys, and I can't do it. He's like, I'll become the human that I promised would defeat Satan. Genesis 3, we go all the way back to Genesis, and you're looking there, and Adam and Eve had just eaten the fruit, and God comes, and he says, what have you done? And he says, the woman made me do it, and the woman says, the snake made me do it. And so God is dishing out consequences for sin, and he turns to the serpent, and he says in verse 14, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all of the days of your life. Now get verse 15. He says, I will put enmity, that's strife, that's struggle. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. So any snake haters out there? Anyone doesn't like snakes? You're just fulfilling Genesis 3:15. God says, I told you, you guys would hate snakes. And they're not crazy about you either. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head. The offspring of Eve will bruise the serpent's head, and you, serpent, shall bruise his heel. What does this mean? Well, God promises, God says that man will deliver a blow to the head of the serpent, a fatal blow. That's why he says head. Man, the offspring of Eve, will deliver a fatal blow to Satan. But he won't come out unscathed, will he? The human, the offspring of Eve, will be victorious over the serpent, but he's going to come out with his own scratches. And in fact, more than scratches. God says, but you will bruise his heel. So this man, this offspring of Eve, will conquer the serpent, but will also himself receive inflicted pain. You might say, why does this matter to me that God would keep his promise to some snake who's Satan? Why does this matter to me? Well, let me say this. This might be a provocative statement, but it's true. Why does this matter about a promise, about a snake, about Satan? Because you are either, or you either are or you were ruled by Satan. All of you. And me too. You either are ruled by Satan right now, as you're sitting there and breathing, you're ruled by Satan, or you were, if you're redeemed by Christ and in the family of God, you are set free from his rule, liberated from his captivity. All of us, at one time, and some of you still, are under the rule of, as the Bible says, the God of this world. You are ensnared by him. The Bible says that he covers your eyes so that you can't even see God to pursue God. You're under his rule. Satan is the God of this world. He rules over all non-Christians, every single one of them. And so let us just get this. People aren't divided into Christian and Muslim, Mormons, and there's the atheists, and there's the Buddhists. No, we can make it much more simple than that. There are only those who are under Jesus and those who are under Satan. Christians and everybody else. Two camps. Two categories. Two labels. Under Jesus' rule, the lordship of Christ, or under Satan, the god of this world. And if you are in this camp under Satan, you are blinded by him, you are ensnared by him, enslaved by him, and the sin that he entices you with. And I would just plead with you, turn to Christ, find freedom in Christ from his grip. So this is the promise that God would defeat Satan through a man. And the New Testament says that Jesus disarmed Satan. He's the fulfillment of this. He disarmed Satan's power over humanity. Hebrews chapter 2 says this. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, okay, so we're humans, he himself, Jesus, likewise partook of the same thing. He also became human. Why? So that through the death he might destroy the one who has the power over death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who are through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Do you see this? Because we're human, he needed to be human to free us from our captor. How about this? Colossians 2:14. God made you alive together with him by canceling the record of debt that stood against you with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And look at this, what he does. He disarmed the ruler and the authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So Jesus is the offspring of Eve who stomps on the head of the serpent. Satan has one bullet. Death. On the cross, Jesus removed this bullet from his chamber. He has no fatal weapon against you in Christ. Jesus broke the evil ruler's staff that was hypnotizing us. He took the sting out of his bite. He removed the venom from his fangs. This is what Jesus did. If you're not a Christian today, Jesus lived so that Satan would die and his reign in your life would end. Jesus did that for you. And one day, Jesus will banish Satan to the lake of fire for good, fully crushing his head. Fully crushing it. You know, in chess, there's this point in the game, if you know how to play, in which there's a checkmate, right? There's a check, and you can get out of it sometimes, but when you hit the point of checkmate, technically the game is still going on, the match is still happening, but the outcome is fixed. There's no getting out of it at that point. The end is sure. We live in the checkmate period. Not just check, where Satan can pull a quick one and still win this whole thing. No, when Jesus rose from the dead, conquering death, it was checkmate. And we live in this period in which life is still technically happening and Satan is still working, but the end is sure. The outcome is set. And so why did Jesus become human? To keep his promise that he would defeat Satan and his rule through a human. He also promised that he would bring blessing to the world through a human. Genesis 22. Genesis 22 verse 18 says, this is right after, by the way, Abraham just tried to sacrifice Isaac in obedience to God. And God stops him, gives him a ram to use in Isaac's place. And verse 18, it says, God says this to Abraham, in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Through your offspring, Abraham, a human will bring blessing to the whole world, all of them, because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham was obedient, so God promised that his descendant, a human descendant, would bring blessing to the world. Could you just imagine this? Like getting a vision, an image from God. And he says in his visit to you, hey, one of your descendants, someone from your family tree a few generations down, is going to change the world. He will be in the history books as long as history is being made. Could you imagine that? And that's the message Abraham got. Your descendant will rock the world. Everyone will know his name. He'll bring blessing to the four corners of the world. And Paul lets us know in the New Testament that Jesus is this offspring of Abraham. Galatians 3. In Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So not just his people, Israel, but now it's going to spread through this one, through Jesus, to all people, non-Jews, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. I want you to hear this morning. Salvation is not just about the bad that you're saved from. It's also about the good that you're saved to. It's not just the hell that you get out of, but it's the heaven that you're brought into. So, Christian, think about this. You have access to the treasure vault of God so that you might lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not that rust and moths can destroy, but treasures for eternity through Jesus. And it doesn't matter what your family tree is. It doesn't matter where your ancestors come from, whether they're from Palestine or Africa or Europe. This is for you. For all the peoples. Because of Jesus, you can enjoy the promises given to one little family because of one man's obedience. And ultimately because Christ. It's a crude analogy. It's an imperfect analogy. But Jesus is like Robin Hood. You know Robin Hood? The story of Robin Hood? There's the wealth and the riches for the few. And he takes the blessing and the riches for the few and gives it to everybody, the commoners. This is Jesus. Abraham and his family had the promises of God. And Jesus comes in and takes it and gives it to all people. Makes it accessible to the world. Please don't pass up those riches that God has made accessible through Christ. Enjoy the riches of God through Jesus. He's promised that he would through a human not just defeat Satan but bring blessing to the world. So, why did Jesus become human? Firstly, to keep his promise. Secondly, Jesus became human to set an example for you and I. Jesus became what you and I were always supposed to be and how we're supposed to live. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to look quickly with it. It'll be on the screen. Just want to read it. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "If when you do good and suffer for what you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called." Why? "Because Christ Jesus also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." So we're supposed to live a certain way, do certain things. And God says in 1 Peter 2:21 that Jesus came to leave us an example of what that should look like. Why did Jesus become human? To be your example. Your elder brother that you should follow in his footsteps. What about this? Verse 24, the same 1 Peter 2. Makes it that much more clear. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree." Why? Why did Jesus come and die on a tree? So that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. This isn't the whole picture of why Jesus died on the cross, but it's a picture. It's part of the puzzle. Jesus came, he suffered on the cross, he died. Why? To show you how to do it. To suffer in this world in faithfulness to God, obedience to God. Part of why Jesus became man was so that we would have his example and how to live. So, Christian, are you conforming to the image of the one who is your example? J.C. Ryle said, "Ask a true Christian by what pattern he tries to frame his life, and he will tell you that it is example of Christ." Christ will never be the Savior of those who know nothing of following his example. Saving faith will always produce some conformity to the image of Jesus. So we have to be honest with ourselves here. We're not better off if we just lie to ourselves. Is going to church the only thing that makes you look like a Christian? Do you look like Jesus, the one who hung on the cross as your example of how to live? Romans 8:29 says, those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. And so how did he live that we might also? Well, he made a public proclamation through baptism, didn't he? And so might we all, if you haven't yet, make a public proclamation through baptism. He called out sin with clarity. He didn't beat around the bush. And he was crazy gracious to those who repented. He was personally above reproach. He was holy. He gave no opportunity for accusations to stick to him. He rose early in the morning to pray because he cared more about communing with God than doing business of this world. He spent his life investing in other men, discipling them. He committed his time to others, showing them the faith. He cared about relationships in the church. He lived as a human to be our example, that we might follow it, that you might follow it. Third, Jesus became a human to relate to his people's condition. Jesus became human to relate to you. Can you imagine? Seriously, just imagine that. Like, people will go out of their way to serve those they love, and you're like, wow, that was like, you did not have to do that. Think about what Jesus didn't have to do. He descended from glory, gave up heaven's riches for a time to relate with you, to sympathize with your condition. Hebrews 2:18, because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is now able to help those who are being tempted. Sorry, I added those words. He is able to help those who are being tempted because he himself has suffered. So he entered into the sufferings of this world in part that he might be able to help those who go through the same thing. And then just two chapters later, chapter 4, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are and yet without sin. As a pastor, as your pastor, I have the privilege of walking through life with you. And I trust that as the years go on, and I'm your pastor for however many more years, I have more of those opportunities. But even just in the 5 years that I've been here, God has graced me with the privilege to sit by the bedside of some of you in the last couple hours of your spouse's life, to hug you, to cry with you, to pray with you, to read scripture to you. I count that as just such an unbelievable privilege. I realize not everybody has or could say. And it's just this kindness that you would allow me into your life in that way, that I could be with you in a time of suffering. And yet, I can't say that I am able to relate to what you're going through experientially. I'm there with you. I'm present. I want to be everything I can be to you, but I just also have to accept my limitations that I can't relate to you on an experiential level, knowing what you're going through. But you know who can.
You know who's not only with you, but can say, yeah, me too, me too. The one who became human so that he could relate to you. That in his suffering, he knows your suffering. Our high priest who now is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, our brokenness. Jesus took on flesh. He lived this life so to be close to you experientially. And so are you going through a hard time? Are you filled with grief? Is this time of year a hard time for you? Jesus knows that. He didn't want to just be your savior from your suffering. He wanted to be your companion in your suffering. And so he became human to relate to your condition. Lastly, Jesus became human to represent humans in receiving God's judgment. Galatians 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Do you see that? Born of a woman, so he's man, born under the law, under all the expectations that God has put on humans to live under. So he's born of a woman, born under that law. Why? So to redeem those who were also under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. You got to hear this part. All the other reasons I gave you why Jesus became human are nothing. I will repeat that. They are nothing if he wasn't human for this reason, to take away your sins. Think about it. If he became human just to set an example for you, but not save you, he's just rearranging the furniture on the Titanic. You're going to hell at the end of it. He just wants you to look kind of good on your way to hell. If he just came to be your example but not save you, no. Being your example was not enough. He wanted your sanctification, but he also wanted your justification. He wanted to show you how to live now, but also provide life after death for you too. And so giving you an example is nothing if he didn't also come to save you. In the same way, what good is it if God can relate to your experiences now for a short time and then just let you head to hell forever? Thanks, God, for relating to me for 60, 70 years so that I would spend eternity away from you. No. He didn't want to just be with you in your experience for this short time. He wants to be with you for eternity. And so this is the key reason. This is the main reason Jesus became human, to take away our sins, to take our place in obeying God's law. He was born of a woman, which means he was flesh and blood. He's our older brother. He was born under the law, which means he was subject to the same rules that God gives us. He joins us in those rules to obey them on our behalf. The Bible says he had to be like us in every way. He was a perfect version of you and me in order to take your place as the person you were supposed to be. Hebrews 2:17. It's the last text I want to look at. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Why? So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, so to take propitiation or to make propitiation for the sins of his people. He had to be like you to be in your place. So think about that. For every stage of life, Jesus was what you couldn't be and what I couldn't be. He was the perfect baby that you and I never were. Jesus was the perfect toddler that you and I never were. Jesus' child years, he was living out the childhood you and I were supposed to live out, and we couldn't. When he became a teen, he started living out
teenhood the way you were supposed to, but couldn't. He was the perfect teenager that you and I never were. He was the perfect adult that you and I never were. Every single stage of life, he was what we needed to be and yet weren't. This is great news. If you are a person who feels unsavable, can you just listen up for the 2 minutes left I have? If you feel unsavable because God just couldn't love somebody like me, if you've ever thought that, can you just listen? Listen to this. Tune into this. Do you feel not good enough to be loved by God? Well, good. Trust in Jesus, who is good enough to be loved by God. Do you think you've messed up too much? You have. But Jesus hasn't. And he offers you his holiness to wear, to cloak you with his goodness. You feel like God couldn't love something like this. That's okay, because he cloaks you with his goodness. So trust in the goodness of Jesus. He came as a human to take your place. Through faith, you are saved. By grace, this is a gift from God. So this is exactly why Jesus came, and this is why we celebrate communion. And I want to transition into that. That's what communion's all about.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.